23. Matthew 23. I tried to be proper. I tried to be cordial with a jacket. But I didn't want to be like Johnny Cash and all black and all. But I said, well, it makes me look slimmer. So. All right, are you ready? Matthew 23, verse 37. And when you have it, just say, I got it, Pastor. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. Got it, got it. Who else got it? Who else got it? Who else got it? I'm going to read out of the Living Bible. Matthew 23, verse 37. Hallelujah. He's already calling us. Are you ready? Matthew 23, verse 37 out of the Living Bible reads this wise. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophet and stones all those God sends to her. How often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. Turn with me to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 2. Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. I'm going to continue on for the sake of time. Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2, reading this wise. Comfort, comfort my people, says God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sins have been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Lord, that you've already paid the price and you've taken care of the debt that I could not pay. Lord, I thank you for it. But I thank you most importantly, God, that you abide with us as we abide in you. And I thank you for your presence. Take not your presence from us, O God. Thank you for being with your children. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Well, I tell you what, when you begin to read in scripture and you hear that the writer writes Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who is he talking to? The church. But if he has to repeat himself, he's doing it because he's getting your attention. Right? So if I say, Kathy, Kathy, okay. See, now, but I say, Kathy, Kathy, which, all right, the tone, right? Okay, when the writer begins to write concerning Jerusalem, you're going to notice the tone in Scripture. That's why when you read Scripture, don't just read it as a book. Understand what the writer is trying to convey. Now, when I said it, Kathy, Kathy, there's excitement. Kathy, Kathy, that's it. I'm in the principal's office now. Forget it. I'm already in trouble. Oh, that's it. Now say the full name. That's it. Done. Sentence has already been out there. But here's the thing. This is what he's saying. And the writer is beginning to write in Matthew and saying that he's speaking to the church. The church. So it says in this wise, church, church. The city. Now he talks about how big. It's not a four wall. Now it's a city. City that does what? We just read it together. Kills the prophets and stones the one God sends to them. Okay. Ooh. Thank you for worship, God. Thank you. Ooh-wee. How many times has something that the Lord's spoken to you come to you and it seems like you're killing the very thing that has come to you? Let me repeat it, because this is what I'm trying to tell you. He is speaking to the church saying, I have sent prophets to you, but you kill them. Because ain't nobody want to hear the truth from God. Yeah, we all want to hear how wonderful it's going to be in our mansions and our big old cars and trucks and big old fat, you know, fat bank accounts. Yeah, we want to hear those kind of ear tickling prophecies, but we don't want to hear the one that says, what you're going through is based upon your actions and your decisions that you have made. If you remain in sin, you continue to do what you're doing. What you're doing is putting Christ back on the cross. You see, what has happened is we've had this great grace message go forth, and it was like that ticket that has been given to you now that you can go and sin. And what has happened is we don't hear the messages that the disciples had to go out to them and teach them. When I read the book of Corinth, y'all know what the book of Corinth is, right? Do you understand the state of that church and how it was? Shoo, they were not just messed up. It was like walking into a bar of nothing but swingers, and that was the church. Their ministers sleeping with people in the church. I was about to go there, but thank you that you jumped ahead. There was pastor sleeping with somebody else's wife or vice versa, husbands. All kinds of orgies taking place, and that's when they would call it Corinzini, meaning that that's a crazy state that you're in. So the apostle is writing to the church, and this is in the book of Corinth, and he's telling them how they should be. But if we were to have, and I said this before, we were to have the apostle Paul come to the church today, what would the message be? Would it be different? It would be the same. Because we're still seeing people take this grace and be able to live the way they want to live, act the way they want to act, and portray themselves to be holy. But not live it out as the scripture says. But they want to hold you accountable for your sins. So when I read this scripture today, I said, Lord, I thank you that you're speaking. Because in Isaiah, through the prophet, he speaks and says, comfort, comfort my people. Well, first he's saying, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Now we go on to the prophet, and he says, comfort. Comfort. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. I think it's just because she's been wounded. How has she been wounded? By truth not being spoken. So what happens when someone lies to you? How do you feel? You feel great, don't you? What about those married couples? When they lie to you. Get off of that now. Come on, stop. Is it easy to forgive them? No, because what we do is we hold them. Well, you've got to prove that you're honest because you're always lying. I can't trust you. And I know it's been 25 years and I just can't trust you. So we start holding grudges. We start holding these things against individuals. The reality is that's what keeps us in bondage. It keeps the church, Jerusalem, in bondage if we don't turn to him and ask him to reveal to us what needs to be dealt with. So comfort, comfort my people, says God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Isn't that something? Double for all the sin. And we can read into that and say, oh, because you messed up a couple of times, you need double grace, double mercy. Well, I don't know about you, but many times when we get in trouble, what do? Do we run to God? Or do we run away from God? Now, it's kind of mixed because some of you are like, yeah, run away. See you, God, deuces. And others, and I run straight to God. Well, since we are in church tonight, we should run to God. We should be running to God for everything that has come our way that causes us to feel like we're losing faith or hope. We should run to him. When I started on Sunday and I started reading Psalm 91, I said, I'm not going to get off of that scripture just yet. I want to begin to minister and break this thing down so that you have an understanding where and when the protection comes. Okay? So turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 91. And I'll bring these two scriptures that I previously read together. Psalm 91, I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. When you're there, say amen. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers and under his wings. Shalt thou trust? His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash the foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Put your attention, if you would, please, to verse 1. And you see where it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How do you get divine protection? He that dwelleth. So that everyone that begins to quote this particular verse of Scripture, Psalm 91, throughout their house, that's when they get the protection. Is that when it is? No, it is those that seek and dwell in his presence. Do you know how to dwell in his presence? Do you know who wrote Psalm 91? So we're shouting out names. Who else? Does it say? It doesn't say. Now watch this. Wow. Who wrote it? Well, let's look and see. Let's look at the writing style so we have a better understanding of who the writer is. He that dwelleth in the secret place. What is the secret place to you? Okay, time, worship, what else? Spirit of the Lord. Okay, don't shout it all at once now. Come on. The place where nobody sees. Secret place, okay. Now, who would understand a secret place? David, go further back. Solomon was after David. Say it again. Moses. Moses. Someone's like, I said it. Moses. Why would Moses be the one? I'm just, before you even start saying, well, Pastor said Moses wrote, just hold up. Hold up. But watch this. Watch this. What did God instruct Moses to do? I'm sorry? Okay, you went to judgment. Oh. Sustain. Went into the desert and what? He ran away from the Egyptians. What did he command him to do? To go back to Egypt? He commanded him to build what? Say it again. The temple. We all went to, okay, why not? I'm just going to say it. But the Ten Commandments, judgment. Okay, to go to the Promised Land. That's where he was taking him. What did he command him to do? He commanded him to build him what? The temple, the tabernacle. The tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle had an entrance, did it not? How many entrances? One entrance. I love it. I love it. One entrance. I hope ain't nobody on the other side. One entrance. One door. What is that representation of? Jesus. There's only one way in. Now, many of us accept Jesus and come in, but we stay where we accepted him. Now, what is the place from the altar to the next place where the veil is at? Sorry, not beyond the veil yet. On the outside is the... Oh, here, we're getting there now. We're getting there. We're remembering now. The outer court. Now, the outer court is where all of the people would gather. Okay? The outer court is where people would find their salvation. They went through their sacrifices. They went through the cleansing. They went through the rituals. But they never went further. Only the elect went further. Right? How many times did the priests go beyond the outer court into the inner court and beyond the veil? Once a year. Here's what I believe that is taking place in the body of Christ in today's church. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I have sent you prophets, but you kill them and you stone those that I have sent you. Every time I give you instructions, prophetic word that comes, you kill it by doing it your way. This is going to be a good message, really. I know. You're like, ooh, ow, ow, ooh. It's okay. When prophetic instruction comes, he's trying to get you out of a place so he can further you along the process to get you to another place. Then he sends, this is what he says in the scripture, and to those that I send, you stone. Okay, every time help tries to come your way that he sends, if it's not who you would want it to come through, you deny it. Did we get that? Did y'all get that one? Because if it's not through, you know, Mama Lou, then I'm not going to receive it. If it's not through Sister So-and-so, I'm not going to receive it. What if it was to come from one of your enemies that God sent to help you? Would you take it? You wouldn't take it. You know why? Because what you're going to do is cast stones at them because they've hurt you, they've wounded you, and you don't forgive them. So the unforgiveness is going to keep you from obtaining what God has sent your way. So where are we? We're still out here in the outer court. We're still having to cleanse ourselves from all our unrighteousness. We've got to make sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice for all the sins, but we never go further in the tabernacle. So he wants us to understand, this writer is telling us, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Watch what he says next. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. So verse 2, now he's saying that he is two things. He is my refuge and my fortress. What did Moses do when things were going wrong inside the camp? He would run to God. Would he not? But then not only would he just run to him, he would inquire of him, right? He would seek shelter from the people as well. You know, as Moses is a prophet, he's the one leading the people. Did they really want to receive those tablets that were given from God? No, they didn't want to receive it because it made them see who they really were. Now they're having a party down in the valley. You know, because down in the valley, you know, Valley Girl, you Valley Girl. I know you Valley. No, not Valley Girl. No. She says, I'm country, but I ain't Valley. But what happens is we have gotten so comfortable in our ways that God tries to send us instructions through his word, through a prophetic word, but we want to stay on the outside and we don't want to go to the inside to his dwelling place. During that time of the tabernacle, where did God dwell? You can shout it out. It's okay. Inner court where? Okay, behind the Holy of Holies, that's a curtain. And then where? Mercy seat, where the blood was sprinkled. Between what? Cherubim what? Wings. Cherubim wings, right? Uh-huh. Cherubim wings. Okay, let's see. Let's do this. Triton and Josh, come over here. Triton and Josh, come on. Watch it. Let's get that chair. Josh, get that chair. Okay, let the front touch that front. Right there. Front to front. Okay, stand right there. Right next up, right behind it.
Put your arms out like that.
Put your arms out like that. Okay, now your head needs to be facing down, right here in the center. Right here in the center. Okay, but your wings need a touch. You need a touch. Okay. And watch this. This is the illustration I'm going to show you. I want you to see what the writer is writing about. Okay? I want to show you something. I've had very many discussions with individuals concerning how I begin to read the Bible to understand what the Bible says. Is I have to understand what the writer is writing to and where he's writing this letter in the region. Okay? Now, once you have an understanding who the writer is writing to and in the region that they're writing it to, you can begin to understand more about the scriptures when you do so. So why is it that in Psalm 91 that he says this? Y'all going to be there for a while. Get comfortable. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow. Now, what was inside the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant, which was the glory of God. Now, okay, that was in the Ark. Okay. Now, just so that you have an understanding, how many layers of badger skin were over the tent? Okay, you guys are like, okay, well, I didn't know we were going to do a study on the tabernacle. But hold on, I'm going to prove a point. Stay facing down. Okay, now listen. He put the badger skin over it, which is thick skin, okay, and he did two layers of it. So in other words, all of this layers of skin so that no light could shine in. Right? So now watch what it says right here. What does it say? I'm still just trying to get right here. I'm still in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. Now, in a secret place, it's supposed to be a dark place. How is it going to cast a shadow if it's dark? Right? How does that happen? When you're in the presence of God, His glory casts light upon the darkness. Okay, I need you to hear this. Let's do this. Put your book down. Okay. Put it down. Come on. Okay. Listen. For the sake of the teaching, here's the Ark of the Covenant. Here are these beautiful angels. Okay. But you're not going to worship yet. Okay. Okay. She's a high priest. She's coming in, right? Now, it's dark. It's supposed to be dark. There's a purpose for it to be dark. Okay, now we all understand the vestments that the high priest wore, right? Now the vestments that the high priest wore had jewels on it, did it not? They were bedazzled. Had the wings. Now the Uman and the Thurman, not Uma Thurman, but the Uman and the Thurman were the ones that the light in what? What light was cast? It wasn't from the candlesticks. That was before the veil. The light came from the very presence of God. Now watch this. I wish I had my flashlight. Yes, I have it. Turn the lights off, Bubble. Okay. I'm going to stand. Go ahead. Okay. Oh, batteries. Okay. Turn these lights off real quick. Okay, you ready? Now. Yes, those two. Ooh. Ooh. Okay, now look. Now his glory would shine. This is how dark it would be without my iPad and y'all's electronic devices. Okay, now listen. People on the podcast, what are they doing? I'm going to go to video soon. I promise you. Now watch. Now his glory would shine in the darkness. Okay, lift your arms up. Lift your arms up more because she's right so they can see. Okay, so then in those jewels on the vestments, he would begin to give instructions, right, to the high priest. Okay, those who abide. Okay, see what the shadow is? Without my batteries going dead. Now the shadow is cast behind, right? Behind. Okay. Okay, is it okay? We all right like this? I'm sorry. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you. So here, right at her, right there. You got it? Go down, right there. Okay. Now, y'all see the shadow? Okay. Anytime you get in the very presence of God, what has been trying to attack you, what is trying to come against you, what has been trying to plague you, to keep you to lose faith and hope, cannot be in the presence of God because his light will cast the shadow away. Oh, I wish I had some help in here and the people understood. Because his light shines on you and gives you instructions on the vestments that he has given you. Because you are now all high priests, you understand? So that when you seek shelter under the mighty arms of God, under the wings of the Most High God, now you are drawn into his presence. Sit down right here. At the very mercy seat, there's where he meets you. And when he meets you at the mercy seat, look at where the shadow is now. It is further and further behind you because you're getting closer and closer to his marvelous light. What is that light? His revelation. In his revelation, he gives you instructions because you have spent time in the secret place. Amen. Turn the lights on again, please. Okay, you can turn that off, Mama, just for sake of illustration. Now, their arms are like, oh. Okay, so the angels, what were they facing the whole time? The angels were facing down, looking upon the blood of the Lamb that was shed. Because the Bible says there's where they would place the blood on the mercy seat, and there's where he would abide. So the angels were always worshiping Christ. So every time they would come into, not the angels, but every time the high priest would come in, the angels were always facing down, giving homage to the sacrifice. When you come in as a high priest that you are now, they're looking through you because of the blood that's applied on you and in you. They see him in you. Amen. I know your arms are tired. Go ahead, put them down. Relax. Give me a little break. Now, those that seek the abiding presence of God, right? So who would know about all of that? Moses. Moses would know about it. So, okay, now y'all can sit down. I can sit down, but stay closer. Y'all can sit down. Thank you, man. Yes. Just leave those there. Stay close. First row. Okay, now watch. So as you see now, the one that has constructed this and begins to understand what takes place, why? Who would go into the Holy of Holies? The high priest. Who was the high priest at that time? Aaron. Brother. His brother. Now, in Scripture later talks about Jesus saying, before you bring your sacrifice to me, if you have any aught between your brothers, leave your sacrifice and go make it right so that when you make it right, then you can bring your sacrifice and now it's received. Right? Who said it? Jesus says it. It's in Luke. Now, when Jesus said that, what is he talking about? We are each other's keeper. We are. We may get mad at what, I'm just looking, so don't, I'm not mad at you. Your country, not Valley, country. Okay. Now, we may get mad at one another, but my job is to be your keeper. How do you keep your brothers and sisters? Prayer. Prayer. That don't mean you're always going to be there. Okay, what's going on with you? You're constantly down here in the valley. What's that's not keeping your brother. You're trying to be a taskmaster. You're trying to rule over them. To keep a brother or sister is to pray them through. Pray them through. That's it. And if God gives you an encouraging word, you encourage them. That's what happens. Now, I know this is elementary. I know all of y'all already passed this test. Y'all know it. I'm not going to test you on this. But here's what I began to find. It was very interesting. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Now, Moses had to run to God for a lot of things. A lot of things. So I want to make a couple of notes here. We first must learn to abide beyond the general assembly in the outer court so that we can get the purpose revealed to us in the inner court, in the Holy of Holies. The trick of the enemy is to keep you outside and never enter in the place where he abides. Okay, now, and as an example, how many times have you tried to really press into God and it was hard? Where was the attack? In your mind. Because all of a sudden, you start going off in tongues. Hey, what am I going to make for dinner tonight? Did I take the laundry out and put it in the rinse side? Oh, so I got to put gas before I pick up the kids. What time is it? Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Amen. Because we start thinking about the things of our natural life. That's an outer court experience. You haven't gotten into the inner court yet. When you get to the inner court, does the Bible say that the high priest ever spoke? Or to answer it for you before you go and look. And the high priest never spoke. God knows the petitions of the people. And that old saying, oh, they wore the bells on the bottom of their robes so that the bells stopped ringing, then they died. No, that's just what people would talk about. The reality is, when you come into the very presence of God, he knows what you need before you even ask. He knows what is troubling you before you even tell him. He knows that you're there because you're seeking refuge. You're seeking refuge. Refuge from what? From whatever has been taking place, whether it be in the outer court or even outside in the world system. More importantly, what's going on in your mind. Now, today's society in this world, we're living in so much peace and harmony. It's amazing. No, we're not. So we have so much going on in our head. We have more distraction now than we've ever had. Right? The most distraction that has ever been made known to mankind is not even something that's very big. It's very small in nature. It's your phones. Social media. Guess where most sin is happening? Your phones, your iPads, your iTunes, and all of that. Good, that's good. What has happened is the enemy has used our advancement against us. But God wanted us to advance. He has purposed us to advance. But if we first don't seek shelter under his presence and in his presence to abide in him, the enemy will make havoc in your life. There's that book that is out, The Battlefield of the Mind, Joyce Myers. Good teaching in it. Good teaching. We need to understand that the enemy is going to plague our mind with all the stuff that goes on in our life. Life happens. You know that, right? Life happens. Whether you want it to or not, it happens. So what takes place is we need to seek refuge. We need to run to him. We need to seek and run to God in times of trouble and in times of peace. Because when things are going right, do you think that we're going to run to God? So when you start running to other things other than God, when things are going good, doesn't it seem like things just kind of pop up? Look, can I just get a breather? If you would have stayed abiding in me, if you would have stayed with me, that doesn't mean that you walk 24/7 under the anointing of God. That means that you abide in him and he abides in you. Right? Now, when you abide in God and he abides in you and his word is in you, you have perfect peace, right? So y'all looking at me like these are trick questions. It just seems like even though the more word you get inside of you, more trouble comes. Distractions, all kinds of things come against you. Why do you think that is? Discouraged? Keep you distracted? And I didn't hear all of it. The enemy doesn't want you dwelling in his presence. Okay, what else? Anything else? It's to test the word that you just learned. If you are going to get the illumination, the revelation from being in his presence, guess what's about to come your way? The test. Like, Lord, I was just in your presence. Can't you keep that devil behind me so I don't have to deal with it? Right? You walk out of that presence, the glorious presence. Oh. They're the devil. Happens to be pastor. Because he wants to test you with what you just learned. And watch this. Watch. It's just on verse 1. And then, oh, Lord. Turn with me to John 15. John 15. Told you, I don't even know how much I was going to get done with this, but I hope this is good for you because it's good for me. I'm going to stay on this for a bit. John 15, verses 1 through 3 out of the Message Bible reads this wise. I am the real vine. My father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes. And every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Oh, shoot. Okay. I've been pruned back. But then what it said the sentence before that was, you have, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. So you're going to continually be pruned to bear more fruit. So now, why is he doing this if you're abiding in him? He's going to allow you to grow in him. And the instructions that he gives you are going to be challenged. Why are they going to be challenged? Because he wants you to learn how to abide in him, how to make his place, his dwelling place, a place of refuge. Now, verse 4. Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. Now, we all think about this as well. As long as I accept Jesus Christ and as long as I, you know, read my word and as long as I pray, everything's going to be okay. No, the world's about to come at you. Jesus says this. If the world persecutes you, they don't persecute you for you. They persecute you for me. If the world hates you, they don't hate you. They hate me in you. That doesn't sound comforting. If they kill you, they kill you because of me. Wait a minute. Now, hold up now. This is Jesus speaking. It doesn't make no sense when he says, I've come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. But if they kill you, they kill you for me. See how people would say, you know, it contradicts itself. But he says, if they take you, They take you out because of me. Now, is the enemy there to take you out all the time? Worthwhile? Is he there to take you out all the time?
Yeah.
Is he? The enemy is? Guess who the biggest enemy is? Us. Why? Because we don't want to go through the pruning. We don't want to go through that testing. We don't want to go through having to be in the Holy of Holies and being quiet and letting him speak to us. Because now, we want to get into the presence. Lord, thank you for everything that you've done. Amen. Lord, bless, pay my bills, pay my rent. Take care of little Susie over there. She's getting a little crazy. You know, honey boo-boo over here, you just don't listen. No, take care of it, God. Amen.
Amen.
I have been in the presence that I couldn't speak. My body would shake. I felt my body come off the ground as I was shaking under the presence of God, the power of God. I was in a closet because I learned, go to your closet and pray. It was hot. But I went to the closet and I prayed. I got to the point I started screaming to God, I need you, your presence. I need your presence. I want more of you, God. And all of a sudden, they heard a wind go right through the house. They were in the living room. I was in the closet. You remember that in Cameron Springs? Went right through. And they come out. What was that? What was what? I was in a place in him that I've experienced and I've always wanted to go back to and experience it again. Because finally I got to the point I didn't want nothing to distract me. And I yielded myself to be at the mercy seat. To be in his presence. I didn't care about my problems. I didn't care about my finances. Didn't care about my bills. I didn't care about what was going to try to distract me. I needed to be in that very place. And when I got into that place, not only that there was an empowering that was taking place in my life, all of a sudden supernatural revelation came to me when I would read the word, that it was like a download that was taking place. How many of you want that? I want that again. I want to get into that presence where he just says, be still. Know that I'm God. I've got everything working out for you already. Just be still. Peace. Peace. Because I'm going to work some things out. I'm going to work some things out in your life. There's some changes that are going to take place, but I'm going to work it out for you. Things are going to turn around for you and your family. Some family members you haven't seen in a while, you will see them. There's some things that are going to turn around. There's some healing taking place in your family. There's some healing that you're going to see, physical healing, take place in an individual, a young man, 30 years old. There's some healing about to take place in his life. I encourage you, seek that shelter in his presence. He really wants to reveal more of his glory to you. There's some family issues about to be turned around for your life, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. What is your name? Francis. Francis, there's going to be some family issues that have been going on for some time. It's about to be turned around. There's some things that has caused friction in the family that's going to be turned around. There's going to be all of a sudden what was once full of turmoil and bickering and complaining, because there's quite a few people that do that in the family. Who doesn't have it? But it's going to turn around. There's going to be some healing for an individual. I see this young man that is being healed and has something to do with his liver or kidney. It's this back portion right around here. What is that? Is that the kidney? Okay, I'm not a doctor. The kidney. There's another individual. It's the liver, this cirrhosis of the liver. I see perforations in the liver. There's been some suffering. There's a jaundiced color in this individual. The eyes have become yellow a little bit to the point. This is an older gentleman now. This isn't the young one. This is an older one. There's going to be some healing taking place. It's going to ask, what have you done? is your faith. Your faith. Lay hands. You have gone through a season of prayer and intercession 3 years back. 3 years back. Deep prayer and deep intercession. And I sense that because of that, that all kinds of attack had come your way. That you kind of retreated for a bit. You didn't backslide. No. You just kind of pulled away because of circumstances that were going on. But God is bringing you back. He's calling you back. He's calling you back. When you pray, things happen. When you pray, healing takes place. So that tells me the gift of healing is in you. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Walk in the divine gift that God has given you. Give Jesus all the glory and watch what he's about to do. I see this man that is also, he's rough right here, like hair on his face, but there's some gray in there as well. I do hear that at times he can't sleep because of the pain and the discomfort that he has. God's going to give him some peace and some rest. Beloved, I speak peace into your very home and into your family. And know that God has visited you tonight to encourage you that he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Death, the angel of death, has been steadied and halted off of your lineage. What was coming through a lineage, what was coming that was cancerous, what was coming, I'm just going to say it, and I'm going to say it boldly. The spirit of alcohol and drug addiction had followed rampant through the men in your life, through the family, that caused even divorces to take place through lineages. But I hear the Spirit of God saying, I have broken that curse in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands, Francis. Lift your hands. Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that tonight you made an appointment to be here with her tonight. And Father, that you speak not only into her life, but you speak to the very lineage right now. And we declare that it stops here now in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I even thank you that witchcraft is broken off of their life. Jealousy is broken off of their life. Failed businesses now are going about to be rebirthed again, Father. I even thank you for it now that the resurgence, God, coming back into this family, Lord. I thank you, God. There is someone that is doing lawns, and I see them pushing like a mower, but this is something that they had previous. They had suffered an injury. I don't know. It's like a left leg or something. But I see that God is going to bring healing right now in the name of Jesus, not only to the leg, but also to the resources that are necessary for the family. Father, I thank you for him right now in Jesus' mighty name, and I release healing into this family in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Josh, close with me, please. Go ahead. We will do part two.